Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence calling, and welcome to your unofficial Eurovision podcast. Yes, it's Saturday the 1st of May, just 4 weeks to go until the grand final of this year's Eurovision Song Contest, the 55th running of the Grand Prix Song Competition in Europe. Telenor Stadium, of course, will be the site of all the questions and answers, a live coverage from behind the scenes, commentaries, and all the interviews that I'll be doing here on the podcast near the end of the month. Middle of the month, of course, well, actually, not even the middle of the month, starting next week, will be the Jukebox Juries as we look through the 39 songs that are qualified to get into the Eurovision Song Contest this year. But today, one more of those short guides to Eurovision. Yes, looking at how Eurovision works, and today, a very thorny subject. You'll hear this, the phrase political voting popping up quite a lot in discussions about Eurovision, and I wanted just to go into a little bit more depth about that. It's simply, it's when one country seems to vote for another country just because of the country relationship and nothing to do with the quality of the song. The classic example is Greece and Cyprus will always do their best to exchange 12 points. Now, let's be honest, if political voting existed to the extent that the media think it exists, the same country would win every year. There would be the same sort of rough order every single year in the score tables, and that is clearly not true. There have been, you know, different countries winning Eurovision for at least the last 10 or 15 years. You look at services like Last.fm, which track listening habits in Winamp and iTunes and such like, and you'll see that, you know, even a couple of months after the song contest, the popular songs on those services from that year's song contest kind of fit in with the sort of layout that they had in the scoreboard on the final scores. The most popular songs at the top, least popular songs are at the bottom. So political voting doesn't have, in my opinion, that much of an impact, but it does exist. There have been multiple papers, scientific papers, university treaties, actually looking into this subject. So let's just point out three, you know, a couple of things, you know, what sort of different forms and why it exists and what effects have been done to try and minimise the impact it has on the song contest. Now, I kind of group political voting into three different areas. The first one is immigration, the second is twins, and the third is alliances. Now, immigration is mostly a one-way feature, so this is where in the population of one country has moved to another country. Now, this might be for jobs, this might be for various other reasons. The two obvious ones here are a lot of people from Turkey have moved up to the Netherlands and Germany inside Europe. So you'll see a lot of voting for Turkey from the Netherlands and Germany. To a certain extent, you'll see the same between the UK and Poland. The UK will send lots of votes toward Poland. Also, to a certain extent, Turkey and those Eastern European countries as well. You can kind of track that, but again, it does depend on the song, I have to point out. You know, Turkey isn't always guaranteed the 12 from these countries just because they've sent people there. Twins is a second area. Now, this is where two countries have got a very tight sharing of culture. Now, that could be because, you know, they're close in terms of border areas, with TV and radio stations leaking out, their taste, the historical background because of wars and population transfers inside Europe for hundreds of years. And the four top twins, you'll see this, we've already mentioned one actually, Greece and Cyprus, Romania and Russia, big sort of sharing there, Estonia and Latvia, and to a certain extent also Sweden and Denmark, Norway and Finland don't figure so much. That is the twins. The final one is the alliances. Now, this is what most people think of when they hear of political voting. This is groups of countries where the vote kind of stays inside that group. The big vote, you know, the big votes, the 8s, the 10s and the 12s, stay in a group rather than get spread out. And I've split these up into five essential big alliances. There are smaller ones like the Pyrenean one. So, for example, Andorra and Spain. Andorra, of course, isn't at Eurovision this year. So we have the Allied Powers, the Scandinavian, the Inner Balkan, the Outer Balkan, and the Warsaw. So Allied Power, essentially Ireland, United Kingdom, and Malta. We used to have France in there, but that's kind of died off. Now we've had the European Parliaments and all that kicked in over the last 5 or 10 years. Scandinavia is the one that everybody recognises, but you also, joining Denmark, Sweden, Norway and Finland, you also have Iceland in that block, Estonia, and to a certain extent Lithuania and Latvia as well. But we need a little bit more of the history of the voting just to confirm They're in that Scandinavian bloc. The Balkan countries, two areas, the inner Balkans, which is Serbia, Macedonia and Croatia, and the outer Balkans, so Bosnia, Herzegovina, Slovenia, Albania, Romania, Greece and Cyprus. And finally, the Warsaw country, so is it Poland, Ukraine, Russia? Again, to a certain extent, you might want to put Georgia in there as well, but of course, Georgia and Russia have their own problems. And these groups, you know, they're not always guaranteed to send the 12 or the 10 inside that group, but they tend to keep the high points in there. And again, those votes are spread out through all those countries. And again, you know, just to remind you, it isn't always that way. You know, it does depend on the year, it depends on the song. You know, if just because Ireland sang a previous winner doesn't mean the UK and Malta will automatically give it 12. It's never that clear cut. But do watch out for it. You'll see those groupings appear as we go through the score charts. Now, this is obvious to everybody. It's also obvious to the organisers of Eurovision as well. So they do their best to minimise the effects of political voting. The obvious one is everybody enters a different song every year, and everybody enters a different song. So it does come down to actually how good is the song on the night, how good is the performance taken. And, you know, yes, there are musical juries, and that does help minimise the effect, strangely enough, because when you're looking at the immigration and population movements and cultural differences and so on, when you have a group of people that are musical jury, they will take on some of the taste of the country, but they have 50% of the vote. So they will kind of dull that off. If there's a good song, then that will tend to get more of an effect. The other one is in the semi-finals. Now, there's 17 countries in semi-final 1, 17 countries in semi-final 2. And these are drawn at random, but it's not completely at random. It's rather like football, where there are six pots of countries. And essentially, each pot is an alliance. So all the Scandinavian countries are in bowl number 1. So that's Iceland, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Finland, Estonia, and so on and so on and so on. And there's an equal number drawn out from each bowl. So the Scandinavian alliance is split up into two groups of three. Some in semi-final 1, some in semi-final 2. So yes, it does still go on, but it is minimised because there's a couple of each alliance in each semi-final. It doesn't make much difference in the final. That's where we have to trust the juries to put a bit more focus on the music. And the other one, of course, is that I'm going to come back to it again because I do want to remind you of it. It's the song contest. It is the performance. You know, Russia doesn't win every year. So for them to say, oh, we've won because people want the oil from Russia. Yeah, but hold on, Norway won last year. Norway doesn't have that much oil. You know, it has other wonderful natural resources. Malta's never won it. That's not because Malta doesn't have an oil. It's just that the song doesn't quite make it every single year. So yes, you know, the short answer is political voting does exist. The slightly longer answer is what you've just heard. That's why. But the even shorter answer is doesn't really change who the winner is. I still think, personally, that the winning song is the best song on the night, and it doesn't matter what country it's from. If you put in a belter of a song, you're pretty much guaranteed a winning Eurovision song. Of course, if you have two belters, or three belters, or four belters, then it comes down to the performance on the night, the live vocals, the show, the staging, how everybody feels at home. And that is what makes Eurovision so much fun. There is a sort of club, there is everybody in the world going, go on, Greece, 12 points to Cyprus! Yay! Everybody take a drink. That's not everything. That's not the fun and the flavour of the contest. But anyway, the fun and the flavour of the contest is coming up over the next couple of weeks. Short guides, I think, are over now. We've covered the major topics. Any smaller questions, I'll address them in the Q&A podcast that we'll have in the third week in May, once I get over to the Telenor Stadium, and we'll get special guests from countries and broadcasters and fans onto the show. So if you have any questions, do get in touch, ewanspence@gmail.com. You can also leave your questions at formswing.com/ewanspence, and I will get them there. Or you can find me on Twitter as well, @Ewan. If you're a Eurovision fan, certainly recommend you following that. But for now, I'm going to make sure we've got everything lined up for our Jukebox Juries, which will start next week. And for now, electrical guitars.